Greetings, gentle people. We are here. We are live and we are in living color. Let's jump into this week's conversation. Disclaimer, this podcast is not just for gentlemen, but gentlewomen as well. Now that that's out of our way, welcome to a gentleman's conversation.
Again.
Yes, we are.
For one more spin. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlewomen, all alike. This is your boy, Tony Cathy, a.k.a. Miss Cathy's baby boy, a.k.a. Water Tower, because I'm trying to flood your mind.
And this here is your big homie, the one and only, coming to you with some understanding so that you can leave my presence feeling better than you did when you came. And on that, so, my brother.
So, let's get into these senses, man.
So, check this out. I watched The Black Widow.
Oh, this is your seeing then. This is your sight senses. Okay.
Yes, yes, I watched it. It was a very interesting, good movie, well balanced. It had enough action and drama. The only thing that I did not like.
Uh-oh. There you go.
Was she was too emotional for me. It's like
The Black Widow?
Yes. It's like her time with the Avengers did not toughen her resolve, but gave her a resolve that encompassed compassion and a lot of other emotions that one cannot have if you're going to be a killer.
Well, the thing is that I think that that was the whole premise of her being exposed to that, to the Avengers aspect. It gave her a level of humanity, whereas she was a cold-blooded espionage type spy killer. And then also she goes back home in this one, right?
Right.
So that's going to bring about
emotions.
A different type of emotion.
Yeah. And I get that. But her resolve on what she had to do, placed on how she was put in it, was real good. I enjoyed the movie. I would recommend, if you haven't seen it, to watch it.
Okay. Dig that.
So what's going on in your world?
Well, man, for my senses today, I'm going to touch on hearing.
Yes.
And I'm going to put out there, and again, disclaimer, we are not receiving any type of contributions or support or any type of promotional gain for talking about any of this. This is just our opinions as just regular folk. But I enjoy music. I enjoy all kinds of music, and I try to just dig out whatever I can, basis aside from what's on the top 10, top 20, all that, Billboard.
Right.
There's a cat called Lucky Day. And I'm not going to say any one song. I'm just going to tell you to Google him, YouTube him, SoundCloud, Spotify, whatever you decide to use, Lucky Day. And check this brother out. Really good music. Everything that I've heard from him thus far is good stuff. He's a younger brother. Younger than 30, older than 20. But enjoy his music, and definitely a mature soul type individual for his age and the music that he puts out. And then with that, I try to do a male and a female, and there is this underground sister getting her exposure, working her way through the necessary avenues and highways of music recognition. Her name is Bria Leon, B-R-I-A-L-E-O-N, and she has two cuts. She has a whole album out right now, and it's called Gemini. But two cuts in particular that I like, it's called Away and Over It, Bria Leon.
Oh, yeah.
And Leon is spelled like Leon, L-E-O-N, but if you're from Europe, you say Leon, especially if the accent's put in the right place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you turned me on to that. And she is fresh. She is exciting. And her whole dynamic flow is very interesting and does need some viewing and some getting into. She has a definite purpose into what she is singing and an understanding about how she feels towards that which she is singing.
Yeah, she has a mature sound. The whole album, you have to listen to it because it touches on several different aspects of music. Almost speaks to her influences. No song is the same. Away has a very familiar Caribbean reggaeton vibe and feel to it. It makes you want to move. And Over It is, for me, another female anthem that could definitely be a hot track for women. If Remix are definitely a banger, but definitely that Away is definitely a club banger as well. But Bria Leon, her tracks are Away and Over It, and Lucky Day, just check out his music, period.
Yeah, that sounds real good, man. That sounds like something that I believe our listeners should pay attention to and involve themselves in. Young creative talent.
Copy that.
On the move and on the rise, and so that we can show them our willingness to support their endeavor.
Yeah, and all these young people aren't talking about, you know, stick it, lick it, have it, get in the pee and suck the D and get the money and go home, laugh at them like it's funny, all that blah blah blah. Some of these younger influences are definitely possessing a talent that expresses some real good music. Some real good music. I'm digging that.
And I heard of this other female artist. I think she hails from Australia.
Okay. Okay.
Kiet or Cat.
How do you spell it?
It's K-A-I-I-T.
Well, don't give me the line because they'll spell their name and pronounce it different.
Totally
and
different.
Whether it's phonetically correct or not.
I'm not. I may be messing it up, but I do know that she put out a song called Miss Shiny.
Okay.
That is very interesting and very notable to her delivery and her flow. She has a real good style to how she presents her music. And there again, like I say, we are not receiving anything from this. This is just our personal take on some individuals that we find interesting that you may find interesting also.
So what else you got for us? You got anything else you want to add to the census before we get into it?
I think I've covered some things. Let's hit it.
All right. You this is what I got for you.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
I've got a couple of friends, male, female. And you know, this is just being connected with family, being connected with friends. You have conversations, and a lot of these conversations is what feed our topic matter. Of course,
right.
we Right. We look at the news and what's going on locally and internationally.
Current events.
Exactly. But this one right here has been in my chest and in my throat. One, because in my transparency and keeping it real, I am guilty of. And now, at my point in my life, I can be very transparent because I've reconciled and dealt with and forgiven myself. And I'm moving forward in life and doing my best to live my best one. But this question right here, and it's a major question for so many. Why do we cheat?
Ooh.
And what I want to come from is I want to come from because we are men from the male perspective. But then what I would also want to do is discuss from a male perspective why we feel women cheat as well.
Ooh.
But let's go with the bro conversation first. The bro understanding. The bro stand.
I, and this is me. I feel that cheating comes from points of view in an individual's life where they are dissatisfied and not mature. Dissatisfied meaning that they feel something is lacking, that they're not getting something that they feel they should want. Maturity, that they can't recognize that they have something and still want to squander it in trying to find it in others instead of recognizing it in the one that they have. It is a very loaded question because it goes into the individuality of people not being able to respect a situation that they're in and find themselves in another situation that will give them either long-term satisfaction or short-term gratification.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's deep because we all can say that, hey, no one wants to be cheated on.
Dig that.
You know, and the reasoning can never make sense to the person that it is happening to. I don't care how you may feel, why you may feel it. The person that it is being done to is not going to have a sense of clarity as to why. You know, you are doing something that they feel you shouldn't be doing while you are engaged in a understanding that y'all are trying to develop. Men, I believe, and this is me, I could be wrong, my opinion, that if you haven't enough memories of doing what you want to do and how you want to do it, your ability to settle down and create a circumstance to where your involvement with someone, you know, it requires a sense of maturity, you know. Something in you is lacking, you know, and you feel it necessary to venture out and be or create another situation with someone else. And you have to think, you know, you say, okay, men not being satisfied with someone, the level of satisfaction, the level of understanding, the level of individuality where you are partaking in someone and someone is partaking of you, you know, that lack of motivation. And then it can be a stagnation. You know, you've been with somebody a while. You don't know how to be creative anymore. You don't know how to bring about a newness. And you find yourself wanting something fresher, wanting to be involved in something different. You know, I think that men and their feelings towards sex is different than women's feelings.
Okay.
Towards sex.
So when you say that, do you relate that to, when you say men's feelings are different towards sex and women's feelings are different towards sex, do you relate that to the experience that, and this is difficult because what we're doing is it's kind of hard not to generalize because neither one of us can speak for every man every on the planet.
Right, absolutely.
All we can do is speak from our experiences and our understanding from the men that we've been exposed to throughout our lives up until the present.
Absolutely.
But from my experience, one thing I can say is that point blank, all most men want to do is get off.
Yes.
And even with all those variables in play, let's say I just got a crazy, off-the-chain, trifling wife, girlfriend, whatever the case may be. She talks bad to me. She's disrespectful. That is an easy way for any man, or vice versa, for any woman, if she has a husband or a boyfriend that does the same, to be distracted by someone that is polite to them.
Yes. That's that lacking.
Yeah, that's the easy cheat scenario.
Right.
But when you have someone that is a good husband, that is a good wife.
Absolutely.
But the spouse or partner, what have you, cheats. Why is that?
Well,
again, good wife, good husband, good scenario, but still an individual is on the move.
I have to look at it like you're not being settled in the relationship that you are a part of. Any relationship requires work. Work means that there are going to be highs and there are going to be lows, and we deal with them. The universal understanding is that we love one another. Our love for each other allows us to deal with lows, enjoy the highs, but maintain the discipline to be with one another. In a lot of cases, you know, and I say this from a general perspective, you are involved with someone that started out one way. And in the course of your relationship, they wind up in another way. Same person, but they're not the same individual when it comes to the intensity of what y'all started. You know, how y'all started was fantastic. Y'all was at each other. I mean, this thing was like gangbangers. You know, you couldn't get enough, she couldn't get enough, and it was all happening. And I think that falls onto how you build your relationship. Is your relationship built on the sexual encounter, or is it built on the individual understanding of us trying to maintain the discipline that is necessary for us to overcome shit that comes at us as a whole and still move forward? Or are we distracted by things?
Okay, so, and that's wonderful. That was very well spoken, big homie. But I want to get into one particular aspect that you just brought up, mm-hmm. the shit. Okay, so if we get in into it, get in, and I mean this, let's just take off all the padding. We about to go knuckle up,
right?
Straight
right.
up, off the gloves.
Right.
We about to go old school, bare knuckle.
Bare knuckle.
So if I've got a good wife, I've got a good the female has a good husband at home doing their thing, but the woman cheats, the man cheats. All that understanding and all that wonderful commentary about knowing the expectations and we understand that. But if we get into the shit of it, what ultimately motivates someone to cheat, or either what is the motivator? Because we're talking about a scenario where there are no negatives, you know, other than the norm. It's marriage. It's a relationship. Yeah, you know, take out the trash. You know, pay a bill on time. You know, your the way you clean up is different from the way I clean up. You know, all that. We get all that. But when we're talking about you making moves on a regular basis, especially if you've been caught. And you've been forgiven.
Ooh.
Or so we feel.
Yes.
Because the truth of the matter is that a woman will forgive and can move forward to that, but she won't forget.
Well, let us understand something. Forgiveness does what to her trust? Does she forgive you of your actions so she can trust you again? Or does she forgive you of your actions so y'all can keep going? See, because trust is the essence of what keeps the sanctity of what we have together. If you remove trust, you're saying, okay, you cheated on me. I'm gonna stay with you. But any indication that I get that you ain't doing shit that I like or stuff that I want, then it's going to bring back the feelings that you ain't being right with me.
Or if you do anything that reminds me of your behavior.
Yes. So I honestly believe with people, I honestly believe that if you love yourself and you love someone else, and they do you wrong, meaning that they cheat on you, that y'all's relationship stopped. And any motion that y'all have moving forward is y'all trying to do something that ultimately will create more problems for y'all than a solution towards the resolving of the issue. See, you know, is it me? Is it you? Why? Because people search out. You know, they look at themselves. If you find yourself a woman, she would often ask a man, you know, what is it? You know, what am I not doing that would motivate you to be with somebody else?
Right.
What is not happening with us that makes you feel you need to be with somebody else?
And his answer is, and you're nothing. You're good. Everything's fine. It's not. And this is, I know, stereotypical statement. It's not you. It's me.
Then,
but what is it? What is it? What is in that statement? What is deeper in that statement? It's me. That's what I'm trying to. That's well, what I want to pull from. Because I know I got my response, but what is yours?
Okay. When you say that, then you ultimately are saying that I'm not ready for your level of love for me and my response of love for you.
But we already in this relationship. We already in this marriage.
Yeah, we in it. But let's be honest. In sickness and in health, for better or for worse, till death do us part, is a realization that two people have who tries to build the most out of what they can with each other's happiness, not discomfort.
And I think that needs to be completely removed from the marriage. All the aspects of that, because that's especially for today's times, that's not the case. Because somebody will leave you because you're sick. Somebody will leave you because of the worst. That level of role doesn't exist anymore for me.
Well, that is saying something then. I mean, what is your love based on?
Women don't roll like that, and most brothers don't roll like that anymore.
But what is your love based on? What is the glue that keeps us connected to one another if we can't go through things together and come out of them unscathed or scathed but not damaged to the point to where we cannot deal with each other? And then, why would you want to hold on to someone who has lost interest in you, female or male? Okay, I love you, but I don't love you enough to the point to where I can deal with life and you and the shit that life throws at us. So I find it necessary to incorporate someone else's feelings for me while I deal with your feelings for me and try to manage our reality along with that one. I mean, what is love? Because if you use Tina Turner's explanation, what does love have to do with it? It has everything. Because if I love you, does that give me a right to hurt you? If you love me, does that give you a right to hurt me? And in these hurts that we develop as people, do we have enough strength in us to overcome the hurts that we have inflicted on each other, right? On each other, trying to make it in this world? I mean, let's look at it from a mature standpoint. I mean, damn, you know, shit, I don't have to marry you to kick it with you. I don't have to be a part of your life on a permanent basis to enjoy you. But if I make a commitment and I commit to the feelings I have for you and the sanctity of those commitments and those feelings, meaning that I'm going to safeguard how you feel towards me as you safeguard how you feel towards me. And we safeguard each other because we're not trying to damage one another. We're not trying to manipulate one another. We're trying to overcome the obstacles this world throws at us, claiming that we have love for one another, and make it. So you go to a point, you say, well, shit, you know, what is this love basis? What is it based on? I mean, shit, is it just the physical feeling that we have? Is it just the sex that we enjoy? What is it that connects us to want to be bound to each other, moving towards a future that we could have with one another? See, because, okay, shit happens, right? And when you use that term, because I don't think no one cheats with an understanding of, this is something I don't want to do. This is something I feel I have to do because I am missing something with you. You're not providing me with something that I feel I deserve or need to have, so I'm going to get it from someone else. Do you say, shit, well, damn, I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to be in your life anymore because your life is not enough for my life, so I need to connect it with someone else. Or do you do the selfish shit? I want to share me. I want to love you, but I want to kick it with somebody else. Because caught is the whole thing. You know, you got people who cheat that don't get caught.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know, you got folks that do shit and don't nobody know nothing about them.
Right.
And they continue to do it. Like it ain't nothing. You know, they go on every day and they maintain their house. They maintain their family. They maintain their situations. They have not gotten caught. Then you get folks that get caught and you try to reason it. You try to reconcile the actions of an individual who claims that they love you, but have inflicted you with a pain that is associated with their love.
I think that for men, I think many variables can be in play.
Yes.
The wife that, or the girlfriend that cheat, that's just disrespectful, that's lazy, that's immature, that can drive you to be distracted. But I think that can happen on both sides. I think
that
a boyfriend or a husband can do the same thing.
Yes.
But I think ultimately when you have a scenario where it is basically two good people and you have a good husband, good wife, but the partner cheats and in some cases continues to cheat, I think there are times when scenarios where it goes past just a person's appetite. I just want to screw, and I just want to kick it. I feel like many times before we met, or before you met that individual, there was something. There was other things in play that were never dealt with. And so before I married you, before I was engaged to you, before that individual got to that level, they never dealt with that bullshiggity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of times we want to put into, okay, well, I'm overly sexually motivated because I was molested or I was exposed to sex early. Okay, great. So that makes sense. But you never dealt with that. So we deal with an individual where you weren't molested. You weren't exposed to sex early. You went to school, went to college or whatever, or you got out the house and you just started kicking it and you enjoyed what you was doing and you were promiscuous. So now you meet somebody, they the one, you cut off everybody you kicking it with, you dating it with, you know, through your whole engagement, you not doing anything. You get married and for the first 5 years, you're good. And all of a sudden, year six, boom. Stupid stuff starts going through your mind, starts happening. For me, I feel like all the way up until whatever moment, whether it be year six, year one, whatever, after you got married, once you committed yourself to this relationship, you never dealt with that boy or that little girl who was in kick it mode, who was in healing mode before you got married. So now that shit starts to manifest.
Right.
And so now, and the thing is that you don't know why until cheat 13.
Mm-hmm.
Cheat 27.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce.
Yes.
Kid.
Right.
You know, domestic violence, whatever the case, stupid scenarios, whatever the case may begin. And then you find yourself sitting alone, male or female, and then, or you in counseling, and you realize, I had all this shit that I never dealt with. Had I dealt with it before, I would have known that the only reason why I'm constantly finding myself kicking it or out cheating is because I never dealt with the aspect that when I was messed with as a little girl or a little boy, I was trying to identify myself as not either gay in my mind, or it was okay for me. This is how you're supposed to show love. Because I was manipulated into thinking that. But you never dealt with that.
And see, those things, those aspects.
And it influences your demise.
Yeah.
Of your marriage or your relationship.
They will. But you also have to say, when looking at it from a dealing and not dealing with, you also have to say, okay, all right, do I hold someone hostage to my inadequacies? See, and when what I mean is, I was single, and I'm using I as an example. I was single, and I kicked it. And I had friends, females, of all aspects. You know, some we just talked, some we went further than just talking. But we did what we done. I was free. And you reference the one. What is the one? What makes you want to settle down with one person, create a life with that person, and then determine that that life you've created is not what you want because time has passed and you have not dealt with issues that you have had while you were single and while you were dealing with multiple people. You know, to settle down, because I look at it historically, I look at how in olden times men have had more than one wife. Were these cheaters? Were they the men who had access to multiple women cheating?
No, because all that was an understanding.
So
when you say multiple wives,
so
number one, two, three, they already knew.
So
that's a tribe.
So the monogamous aspect of a relationship. You know, you think about it. You went from seeing anybody you wanted to, anytime you wanted to the total devotion of seeing one person. And you surmise that this one person is the person I want to see. Now, at this time, at that thought, at this decision, it was great. But you wasn't ready. You didn't know you were ready.
Exactly. You didn't know you wasn't ready.
You didn't know you wasn't ready.
Exactly.
You found out you wasn't ready when you committed to something and time showed itself to you that this is not what you really want, but now you are a part of it.
Exactly. And that's what's so amazing about the human brain, because it will tell you, you will see, you will be mature enough and cognitive to recognize, you know what, this is a good man, this is a good woman, this is it for me, I'm done. And part of your brain is telling you, and in your chest is thumping and saying, hey, look, if you don't jump on this right here, somebody else will, and something like this is not going to come along again in a long time. So you do, but what you're not mature enough and cognitive enough to do is, and that's that whole split brain theory, is to realize, okay, yeah, this is a good woman, this is a good man, but I got some garbage to deal with. Let me talk to them. Hey, look, you know what? This happened, or this is where I was, because we will. I got an older friend of mine, and we talk a lot, and he drops all these nuggets, and he talks about how what you know how to act, you know how to proceed, and you know how to put up front what you need to put up front when you're trying to gain.
Absolutely.
And that's what we do. Because the truth of the matter is, nobody's going to say, and you know, meeting somebody,
I'm not the one.
Exactly.
I can't be trusted, and I might flake out on you.
Yeah, and I got issues. This is what's up.
Blah, no. Blah, blah,
blah. Nobody's going to do that.
No.
Nobody's going to do that. Because no. What that would do is, that would give somebody a choice.
Yes.
Okay, so am I going to work through all your BS that you're telling me about right now?
Yes.
Or I'm on the bounce?
Oh, I'm going to
Nobody's going to do that.
No.
So we go ahead and we get the gold. We get the gold.
Yes.
You know, we get the trophy husband, the trophy wife, never dealing with our extras.
And then we get into a relationship. And what's even worse is an individual doesn't know why they do it. Because you could be minding your business. It's good. Y'all been good for 6 months. Everything's fine. And then the distraction comes. And you're just not, and I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I'm speaking to human nature. I'm speaking to our lack of recognizing when we're in trouble. Because one thing we all have is we have, you know, our old school tells us about common sense. Mm-hmm. Science tells us about our senses. Mm-hmm. But life tells us about good sense.
Yes.
And you got good sense enough to know, okay, you know what? I didn't get caught. But the fact of the matter is, I got a good wife at home. I got a good husband at home. And I just cheated. Now, granted, you know, this was with somebody I knew. This wasn't a stranger, so it don't make me a hoe. I mean, this is my homeboy from back in the day, or my homegirl that I grew up with, or whatever. You know, so, but I did it. And I shouldn't have. I need to go talk to somebody. Or I need to go deal with this. Why did I do? We don't do that. We just like, oh, whew, I didn't get caught. You know, I ain't doing that junk again. I'm good. It happened. I don't even know why I did it. We don't deal with that.
See, and that goes into a segment that we had. See, when you asked me the question, at what time or at what point in your life did you come up with guilt is for suckers? What made you think that? What made you formulate that? My aspects derive from actions. Okay. Who you are, no one knows but you. Who you will become, no one knows but you. What you choose to share about you to someone, fully or in portions,
right.
In portions, is entirely up to you. See, because you have not stopped being who you are. What you have done is recognized something good in someone else, and you don't want somebody else to have that good that has been presented to you. So you change aspects of your personality to accommodate a situation you really ain't ready for. And you will accept those temporary changes to get it. And you will convince yourself at the time, should I need to do this? I need to do this. You know you a hoe, male or female. This is not something that you are not aware of. You can put your hoeness on hold. You can put your wholeness away, but you already know, because you were not living a lifestyle conducive to the point to where you are an individual looking for this particular person, because you've been burnt a lot, because you love hard and you love intensely and you really want this to be meaningful to you. So you put yourself out there, you avail you to someone, hoping that they will respect this from you. Now, this is what we do, and this is my opinion. A treasure that is found is not easily thrown away. We will invest, we will do, because that's that good person you have found. Damn, she the one. Damn, he the one. You know, this is a good dude. He goes to work. She does this. He does that. You see qualities.
Right.
In them that you want to have on a permanent basis. And you start making changes to a personality that ain't ready to change. See, because like you said, hey, I'm digging you, I like you, but I'm a hoe. I want you to fall for me, and I want to fall from you. But there are no guarantees. At any point in time, I may go fuck around and be with somebody else. Who does this? Who puts this information out front for somebody to assess and say, oh, hell no, dude, not me. You ain't. We don't. We bury this person and then allow this person to come forth, as you pointed out, unresolved issues that you have not dealt with come back into a relationship as time goes on because you were restless from the start and you've never addressed the situations that would make you a stable person. You decide, damn, you know, I can change for her. I can change for him. There is an adage that men have often quoted. You can't turn a hoe into a housewife.
Right.
And you shouldn't turn a housewife into a hoe. See, and men, and this is my opinion, men want a hoe in the bedroom and a lady in the streets. Because men know that women have to have a degree of feelings involved when it comes to doing something. That's why we can't take it when our gal cheats. Because we know she got to feel something for a motherfucker. If she gonna give him something, we men, and I may not be speaking for every man, we ain't got to feel nothing. We can go out and slang it and come back to the crib like it ain't nothing. Because our emotions are not tied into a sexual experience.
I can't remember if it was the a comedian. I can't remember. I think it was Eddie Murphy. I can't remember if it was Raw or Delirious. I want to say, which one was the first? It was Delirious Raw. That was first.
Raw.
Raw was? Yes. I think it might have been Delirious. He said it was in the aspect of cheating, and he was saying, okay, he got called, and they're talking about it, and he was like, hey, okay, fine. Okay, I screwed her. We smashed. We did it. You want to say we did it? Yes, we did it. We smashed. We did. Of course, you know, Eddie cussing. He's using the F-bomb. You know, that's what we did. We effed. Okay, yes, we did. We did. I did it. We did it. It did. That's what we did. We effed. But I effed her. I make love to you. No, of course, you know, the audience is just cracking up laughing. But there is some lividity to that, because in a discussion that I had with a couple of brothers at a men's meeting one time, at a function for a church years ago, one of the brothers made a profound statement. He said that, you know, he said this to his wife. He told her, he said, she asked him, she said, how can you do this so easily and then have issues when I can't resolve myself from this scenario? And because she was becoming untrusting, and he was over it, trying to fix it and whatnot. And he said, you know what? He said, here's the thing. I can easily detach myself from that because I don't love her. I love you. Now, granted, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm not trying to say what I did was right. But you want me to continuously live that every time, you know, when we go out, you see me speak to somebody, or we go out, and if I turn my head and I look, you know, you're getting thoughts, whatever, and it creates a rift. But he said, and she was like, you never want to talk about it. When I want to talk about it, he was like, because I'm done with it. That was a moment, and I'm done. I'm not into her. I wasn't trying to get with her or anything. It was a moment, and I'm done, and it's over with. And for women, and going back to what you were saying, is that we feel like that, you know, we get agitated and aggravated because, you know, hey, you know, if you kicked it with this cat, then that means you was digging him. Because I tell my female cousins and I tell my female friends this all the time. It's like, look, I don't care how ignorant the brother is that you with, or you, your baby daddy, whatever the case may be, even a dumb negative black male word has a smart day, has won. And the moment he gets smart is the time when it's most inconvenient for you. So you can do whatever you want to do, say whatever you want to say and whatnot. And of course she expresses, I wasn't even trying to do all that. I mean, it was just one time. I was like, but you know, here's the thing. This dude done did all this dirt for the longest. And so he trying to do right. You get distracted. You decide you want to do your thing. And then you get caught.
Well, see, you got to look.
He done had plenty of practice. See, so he know the flags. He paying attention to stuff. He know your habits ain't regular.
See, and that's the thing.
He know you changing it up.
That's the thing. See.
But her influence, my bad, I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
But her influence for cheating for me had nothing to do with her appetite. It had nothing to do with her influence. It was her insecurity.
Okay. Which was created
by his choices.
By him.
And for me, that's why I feel like most women cheat. It's because of either it was a choice by her partner, or insecurity, which 9 times out of 10 was influenced by the partner.
You think about it.
I don't feel like it's an appetite. I don't think most women just like, oh my god, I gotta get laid.
You think about it though. If you really analyze it, if you really look at it from a perspective. Do women get with somebody, watch this, they know he loves her. She is aware of it. And she go out and get her somebody else. She go do it. Now, dude ain't done nothing. He shows her love. He shows her kindness. He shows her the realness of his feelings and the sentiment behind those feelings because he is willing to put in the work to ensure that they are real. And she does the unthinkable anyway. And from a male-female perspective, which is worse? A man that cheats on a woman and asks for forgiveness, or a woman that cheats on a man for no reason?
And see, I don't think that exists. I think there's always a reason.
Well, what I mean by no reason is what a man would say to a woman. She don't mean nothing to me. I don't see her the same way I see you.
And see, I think, and again, there you go with that junk. That's that loaded question stuff.
I don't love her.
I think there's a high percentage of women who won't for no reason, but I think there's I think there's a high percentage of women who will do it because of other influences. They're being treated bad, what have you. No. But I think there's a low percentage of women who will do it for no reason, because the truth of the matter is, women can be dudes too.
So. If a man has no reason, but does it, can it be accepted that a woman has no reason and do it? See, because men don't see it that way.
We're societal, no.
We don't see it that way.
Then we don't see it that way.
No, we see it like this. This is how we see it. If I had to put in work to get you to feel for me, and somebody else would have to put in work for you to feel for them. And if you accept them not putting in work, if you just go kick it like a man would do. I was with her. She a little freak nasty. I kicked it with her. but this ain't got shit to do with my love. A woman says the same thing to a man. I kicked it with him, but this ain't got shit to do with my love. See, men can't, no, no. We ain't gonna set that because it's hard for us to see women like us. It's hard for us to see women because most men realize something that women don't. The term getting lucky is not something a woman says. Because if a woman want to have sex with somebody, all she got to do is say, come on. We coined the term getting lucky because we throwing the dice. If it's going to happen or if it isn't. This is a crapshoot for us. Shit. It's not a given. A man cannot go out and just assume that it is going to happen. A woman never has to have that assumption. If she wants it, it will happen. So for us, from a woman's perspective, we have had to have told this other person that we got feelings for them, that we care about them, that we're concerned with them, that we want to be with them in order for them to do this thing with us. And we
to cheat?
Yes. We put this on women because this is how we do women. In order for a woman to be with another guy, we automatically assume that she got to have feelings for this dude.
Yeah, see, I definitely know better than that.
She gotta want him. She gotta want to be with him, cause she ain't this type girl. She never presented. Okay, I'll say this: how many men would get with a woman that chooses to get with anybody she can get with and make her his woman? It is the exclusivity of having to work for a woman, for a man, to consider her to be the worthiness of what he deems his.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. See, that completely jives me away from understanding why women cheat. So, what I'm trying to understand is that, and then putting in my understanding, is that for my life experiences,
right?
Because I know I've had conversation with women, gotten close to them, gotten cool with them, and this is in a work atmosphere or family atmosphere, whatever the case may be, and they're just talking about their husband or what have you. And of course, in the beginning, the engagement, first couple of years of marriage, it's off the chain, it's great. He works all the time. He does this. He might have a hobby that he spends more time with.
Yes.
And what happens is that, that connection starts to slip away, and then she begins to feel like she's not important.
Right.
So now, boom, there's the window for distraction. So somebody at work, grocery store, whatever else, starts to make her feel important, starts to make her feel beautiful. And then what comes next is the sexual attraction.
Uh-huh.
And then the next thing you know, it happens. But this is something that I've learned. I know more women that have cheated on their husbands or their boyfriend one time, and it was because they were lonely. It was because they were not getting that type of attention that they wanted, and they never did it again. Just okay. That one time.
Okay.
But I know men.
Say it like you mean it now.
That same scenario.
Uh-huh.
But the one time wasn't the one time.
No.
Because she ain't giving it to me. Oh, I'm going to go somewhere else. Whereas the woman was like, you know what? I did it. This still ain't right. I can't do this again. I'm going to have to suck this up. I'm going to deal with this. Or I'm going to have to get out this relationship.
Okay.
And make moves. Okay. I know more women in that scenario. Not saying that, you know, it's the totality, but I know more women versus men. Oh no, she ain't doing this, she doing that, she work all the time. And when I try to push up on her, she ain't with it. She got to be screwing somebody else, but she tell me she ain't, but she don't want to ever do it with me. Okay, fine. Somebody shows him some interest, he smashes.
So, see.
And this happens several times.
See, you look at situations involved in the scenario as being reasons why. See, you say the reason why a man would do. So let's get back to the initial understanding. You got a good man, you got a good woman, right?
Right.
And now the dynamics of that aspect goes into boredom. So you say, okay, I love him, but he does not spend enough time with me. Someone shows me time and a willingness to spend it with me, and I am attracted to that because I want that from the person that I love, but I'm not getting
it. Don't get it. Right.
Okay. And see, you look at these things. See, you have different scenarios to fit an outcome of dissatisfaction. You say, this happens because this is not happening. What is the reasoning behind someone who does that, and that isn't something that is happening? You can get it anytime you want to from her, any way you want to, anyhow. She with it. She goes to work. She makes sure shit is done around the house. You know she is with it, cause she digging you, and you still want to be with somebody else.
And for me, that's when it boils down to one word. That's maturity. Period. That's appetite. That's you not being able to regulate your understanding of, okay, I'm with this individual, and this is me. We're married. That's ball game. Or I'm in a committed relationship, and doing everything I expect, but I'm not mature enough to hold my horses.
So maturity plays a factor when there can be no logical excuse for actions that are inappropriate.
I feel like, yes, I feel like that's a very, very, very strong aspect of it.
So what is mature about a person when the aspects are not favorable, right? Shit ain't going right. So do you bail? Do you do? And if you do, why do you stay? The problem I have is, who tells a person, male or female, I am not getting out of life what I expected from you, therefore I can no longer be in your life? Who says this?
I mean, there are people who say that.
But if you was to statistically look at a number of people,
it would be low.
Oh.
It would be low. Because most of us don't have the balls to say that. We want to, and this is my opinion, ladies. Women, by nature, have a more focused loyalty train. That train is going to stay on the track. That's my opinion. Whereas men, we'll switch that joint. We'll switch it and then put it back on track.
So let me ask you something. So if I was a man that dealt with many women anytime I want to, the likelihood of me settling down with one really is a lie.
Right.
And if I'm a woman, they can get with any man I want to, the likelihood of me settling down with one is a lie.
I don't think so.
So a woman's ability to change her nature to deal with a situation is far greater than a man's ability to settle his nature when the situation requires him to do so.
I think it is. I really do. Because society teaches men to conquer. Society teaches men, especially black men, you are sexual in nature. You're conquerors. How do you prove yourself? How you prove that you're a man is by dominating. Dominating sexually.
So, if you have examples in your life that your uncle been married for years, your grandparents been married for years, your parents have been married for years, then what is the dominating factor in your life that makes you feel this is not a part of an awareness that you should have because of the examples you've seen? Because I would look at it the total opposite from that perspective you just said, that a guy hasn't had these things in his life. Mm-hmm. Therefore, his ability to be unsettled and moving is far greater than a guy who has had examples of this in his life and has seen people be together for an extended period of time.
Right. Doesn't mean that neither. Now, both of them could take the exact same paths and right. be hoes, cheat on the wives, the whole nine.
Absolutely.
But the likelihood of brother A, who's had uncles, aunts, grandparents, parents be married for years and years, the likelihood of him going through taking that path is very, very low, in my opinion, uh-huh. versus the brother who hasn't.
So your environment to how, and these goes back to the question, unresolved issues in your life, things that you haven't worked out that you should have worked out, right. but don't know how to work out with someone. Like, for instance, and this is all a what I would consider a hypothetical. Look, I ain't never been with nobody for a long period of time. I ain't never been in a strong, stable relationship. I've never even witnessed one, right? And I'm telling you this because I'm digging you, right? I really want to be with you. And there may be times in my life where I feel unsettled because I have not seen the examples that are necessary for me to be settled. Can you deal with this? Can you adjust your life to accommodate this? If I fuck around on you, will you still be there?
Now, the majority of women are going to be like, hell no, you done lost your mind. I'm good. You need to find somebody who's with that plan. Now, is there somebody out there down with that? Yeah, because that's when you start getting into polyamorous. Because I had, I have a friend of mine that says she, and this is a female, she's over 30, and she says, I know that I'm not a monogamous person. I enjoy experiencing other people, not because I'm this sexual freak, but I know that even if I just want to be your friend and hang out with you, that's going to be complications if I'm in a relationship. And if I do enjoy hanging out with you, there is a good chance that we are going to become attracted to each other sexually. So, with me knowing that I'm not a monogamous person, the best thing for me to do is to deal with people who understand that and they're okay with that, or be by myself.
So, a question within a question. Then a person who doesn't expose that part of their personality to an individual and goes forth with wanting to be with someone stable and in a situation to where this is us. See, it all goes back to the one thing that we keep saying. The maturity you have about you determines the maturity you will have dealing with someone else. And if your immaturity is accepted by you, then your immaturity will materialize with someone else. It will show itself in our journey forward. When I try to be everything that you need me to be because I want to be with us, but find myself, God, man, she is fine. And she digging me too. But I got an old lady. Now, I got a choice. I can follow this or I can let this go.
There it is.
I can be that guy who is not settled, or I can be that guy who has matured enough to be settled.
Vice versa. Right.
See.
Male or female.
Male or female. And so our ultimate discussion falls on individual awareness. How much of ourselves are we aware of that we choose to expose to someone, calling ourselves trying to have a relationship or just trying to have an involvement? See, and you know, I said this a long, long time ago, that, and please forgive me, women, because this is no slight against y'all. Most women would rather be lied to than told the truth. And I say that because the truth is, I like you, I'm digging you, I want to have sex with you, but I don't want to be in your life forever. The lie is, we can be in a relationship, we can get to know each other, and let's build a future. In some cases.
Yes, in some cases.
In some cases.
In some cases.
You know, because I'm just trying to have sex and you trying to have a relationship. And we cannot, a man cannot be honest enough to say, hey, all I want is sex. I don't want to be with you every day. I don't want to see you every day. I don't want to be a part of your life. If a man told that to a woman, she would run away. If a woman said the exact same thing with a man, he's still with you. Oh,
yeah, my the percentage goodness. Are higher that he's going to be down.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
He's still going. Do you see the disconnect?
I see that.
Oh, my goodness.
But so, final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Why do we cheat?
We cheat because we are not settled within ourselves. We find the necessity to have other people enjoy our misery or our excellence because we choose not to impart all of it on one person.
All right. My final thoughts are, I feel like most men cheat due to unresolved issues and immaturity levels. I feel like more women cheat due to insecurities and the feeling of loneliness.
And that's good, Doc, because I believe that that is the truth in a lot of instances. And one thing I know for a fact is this. Whatever you choose to do, be you male or female, understand this. You can get no more love than you're willing to give.
And with that, we out.